God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Father, you're so awesome tonight. How we worship you, we reverence you, we bless and thank you, giving you all of the glory, all the honor, and all the praise, and saying you are good and your mercy endures forever. Father, we just want to thank you. We stand in awe of you. You know, Father God, we're so glad to be saved on tonight. We're so glad to be born again on tonight. We're so glad to be redeemed by the blood of the Lamb on tonight. We're so glad to be set free on tonight. We're so glad that nothing's binding us. There are no more chains on us. We're so glad you translated us out of the kingdom of darkness and translated us into the kingdom of your dear Son. We're so glad you set a robe of righteousness upon us. We're so glad you washed away all of our sins. You nailed all of our sins to the cross of Jesus Christ. You totally set us free. We're so glad to be in your family tonight. Oh, Father, it'll never get old. We're so glad to be saved. Glad, glad. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Father, as we stand before you with the mighty word tonight, we know that your word has a power all its own. Your word is dripping with the anointing. Your word is filled with the anointing. Your word has the answer to every situation we face. Every question we have is found in the mighty word of God. Everything we need tonight is in your word. You said man shall not live on bread alone, but on every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. Your word says the word is quick, powerful, sharper than a two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul, spirit, joint, and marrow. Your word is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. And so, Father, do your good work tonight with your word. Accomplish your will with your word. Speak to your people with your word. Speak to every listening ear through the mighty word. Make the word come alive in people's ears. Make the word come alive in people's hearts tonight, Father God. Speak as only you can speak. Father, encourage, strengthen, bless, correct, whatever is needed through the power of the word tonight. And then thank you for the Holy Ghost. He's our great helper. Thank you for the Holy Ghost. Thank you for our helper tonight. Thank you, Father, for using the mighty Holy Ghost in our lives to speak unto us tonight, to guide us and direct us in this service. We thank you for it, Father God. Accomplish all of your will and plan for this hour at this time with these people, and we'll give you all of the glory, give you all the honor. Thank you for unction. Thank you for utterance. Thank you for saving, for healing, for delivering, for setting free tonight by your power. Oh, we give you all the glory now in advance. And as we walk in the manifestation, in Jesus' name, we thank you for it. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. Greet one more person you didn't get a chance to greet. Amen. Praise God. All right, Esther, are we staying with the microphone tonight? Or should we try this again? We're good. Stay with the mic. I guess we're staying with the mic. Okay, the handheld mic. We have a mic. We're staying with the handheld mic. How you doing, saints of God? Glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise God. Well, all of our dads stand up. We have any dads in the audience tonight? Stand on up. Dads, let's give all our dads a big hand. Praise God. We honor all of our dads, all our fathers. Glory to God. Praise God. You can have your seat. Just a good, wonderful day. I pray that you've had a day. Half as blessed as mine. You'll be blessed just to spend the time with my family and just to be so blessed by them. So you might be here tonight, and you might be looking at everyone celebrate Father's Day, and your father may not be on this planet. Your father may not be here, but you know, God is a heavenly father. And how many know that God will be a father to you? How many know that? Yes, he will. He's a father of fathers. Amen. So let the Lord minister to you. Tonight, you have your Bible. Turn to Galatians chapter 3, if you will. Galatians chapter 3. Praise God. Hallelujah. I'm reading from New American Standard, verses 10 through 14. And Galatians chapter 3. Praise God. I'll give you a chance to turn over there tonight. The title of this message: Christ paid the price, only victory will suffice. I wonder if somebody would help me with my title tonight. Say that with me. Christ paid the price, and only victory will suffice. In other words, Jesus has paid the price for us, and nothing short of victory is what God expects, because Jesus paid the price. Amen. Now, if you didn't hear Pastor Hagin's message this morning, then do yourself a favor. He gave a great Father's Day message this morning. It was really fantastic. And if you didn't hear that, then watch that online, or you can go to the bookstore if you're here and get a copy of that. It was a blessing. He led off today, though, Pastor did, talking about the new federal law, Juneteenth, that was just signed by President Biden, celebrating June 19th as a federal holiday. And Pastor shared a brief recap of what that meant, the freeing of the that the slaves found out they were free and so forth. And when I was preparing this message, thinking about what the Lord would have us say on tonight, when we were preparing last week, then I had already decided to begin as with an introduction talking about Juneteenth. And so I'm just going to share just exactly the way I had prepared it, because that was part of our preparation and what we felt the Lord wanted us to share with you on tonight. But Juneteenth is a very important. It just became a federal holiday. But as you know or may not know, on January the 1st, 1863, then President Abraham Lincoln signed into law the Emancipation Proclamation. And what did that do? That freed all the slaves. So think about that. January 1st, 1863, President Lincoln signed that proclamation. But it wasn't until almost 2.5 years later, in 1865, that some of the slaves in Texas found out they were free. The president had signed the proclamation, but they didn't know it. And so they lived as slaves, even though legally they were free. And think about that. For 2 years, really 2.5 years, almost 2.5 years, they lived in slavery because they didn't know that legally they had been set free. Yeah. And it wasn't until 1865 when General Gordon Granger went into Texas. And when he went to Texas, he got to Texas on the 13th of June. It's recorded on the 13th of June. And the last bastion of known slaves were in Galveston, Texas at that time. So he arrived on the 13th, and it took General Gordon Granger till the 19th to get to Galveston. And when he got to Galveston, Texas, he announced to slaves, they were he announced, "You're free. You were already free. You were set free 2.5 years ago. You don't know it, but you've been free. You didn't know it, and you couldn't walk in the light of it. But the proclamation was signed, the legal declaration was given, and you were already set free." And when General Gordon Granger told the slaves in Galveston, Texas, that they had been set free, celebration broke out. They were dancing in the streets. There was such joy that they had been set free. Now, if any group of people on the planet ought to have joy that they've been set free, it's you and I in the body of Christ. Because we've been set free like no group in history has ever been set free. God has set us free. I said, as far as the curse is found, Jesus has set us free. I wish I had a bigger amen than that. Doesn't it feel good tonight to be set free? Is there anybody who wants to just go back to your days of slavery? Is there anybody here who you're a Christian now and you've experienced the joy and the peace of the Lord and the glories of God? Is there anybody and you say, "Boy, I sure wish I could go back to slavery. I sure wish I could get back under the devil's bondage." That would be utter stupidity. No, if you've been set free, you're glad to be free. You ain't going back, praise God. You ain't going back. You're glad to be free. Amen. And so you can imagine the jubilation as these slaves found out some 2.5 years later, "We're free." "You mean we're free? You mean we're not slaves? You mean legally it's already been done? You mean it's already been paid for?" And celebrations broke out all over Galveston, Texas. That is what has culminated into the federal holiday, Juneteenth. But the Lord told me to use that story in a slightly different way to share that, the history of it, the power of the history of it. But then to remind you and I of as believers, because sometimes as believers, we go through the same thing and don't know it. A preacher ain't going to get an amen like that. But you can't take advantage of something that you don't know is legally yours. And the Bible says that Jesus Christ has done something so phenomenal for you and I. If we ever discover the depth of what he's done, we'll never be the same again. We'll never settle for defeat. We may go through things. We may go through times, but we'll come out on top. The Bible says a righteous man may fall down seven times, but seven times he'll get right back up. I said, I wish I had a bigger amen. I said, Jesus has destined you and I in the body of Christ. He has destined us to win. And not only that, he paid the price so that we could win. And not only that, he lived the life so we could see how to win. Woo! Listen, we are to rule and reign with Christ. And that ought to excite you on tonight. That we've been created not to be slaves, but to rule and reign with Jesus Christ. We are seated positionally with Christ. We're always talking about our condition, our human condition. But I don't want to talk about human condition tonight, because human condition will make you sad. Human condition will make you emotional. Human condition will remind you of your humanity. But all positionally, the Bible says in Ephesians, we are seated in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Glory to God. And the Bible said that Jesus is already seated there in a position of victory. And the Bible said you and I are seated with him in that same position of victory. And I tell you, that ought to make you shout tonight. Glory to God. The price has been paid. The victory's been won. The battle is over. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Yeah. And so Galatians chapter 3, starting at verse 10, Galatians 3, verse 10 through 14. Let me read here. I'm reading from the New American Standard tonight. For as many as are of the works of the law are under a curse. For it is written, cursed is everyone who does not abide by all things written in the book of the law to perform them. Now that no one is justified by the law before God is evident, for the righteous man shall live by faith. Verse 12. However, the law is not of faith. On the contrary, he who practices them shall live by them. Verse 13. Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law, having become a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone who hangs on a tree. In order that in Christ Jesus, the blessing of Abraham, listen now, in order that in Christ Jesus, the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles, so that we would receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. Ooh, that's saying something profound about you and I tonight. Oh, if you are in Christ tonight, I got some good news. I got good news for you. Flip over to, in that same chapter, Galatians 3. Look at the verse 29, Galatians 3, 29. And if you belong to Christ, then you are Abraham's descendants and heirs according to the promise. Woo! You ought to have your shouting clothes on. The Bible said, if you belong to Christ, everything has changed because of who we are in Christ. Now, you know, we can talk about who you are and your ethnicity and where you're from and wherever you're from. I'm sure it's wonderful, beautiful, and tracing lineage and heritage is all a wonderful thing. It's not a thing wrong with that. But let me tell you what, there is nothing greater about you if you're a Christian than who you are in Christ. Glory be to God. Thank God for your wonderful ethnicity. Thank God for it. I'm very proud of my ethnicity. But let me tell you what comes ahead of even my ethnicity, who I am in Jesus. Glory to God. And so Jesus, because we are in Christ, everything has changed. If you are in Christ tonight, everything has changed. And the Bible said, if you belong to Christ, then are you Abraham's descendants and heirs according to the promise. You can't take advantage of something like those slaves. They didn't know they were free. The moment they found out they were free, joy and celebration, exuberance, worship to God broke out in the streets of Galveston. Yeah. You can't take advantage of something if you don't know. And so often the New Testament believer is in the same position as those slaves, that Jesus has paid the price for you and I to have something. And so often we settle for less and we don't get what Jesus paid the price. I wish I had an amen in here. I remember when I first started going on cruises. Now, you know, I consider myself an experienced cruiser, been on 9 cruises. When the pandemic hit, my family and I, we were on our way to the airport. We were on our way on a cruise the day the president had to cancel all the travel, you know, because that was in 2019, March 2019. We were headed out on another cruise. So after 9 cruises, I consider myself a little experienced. But I remember when I first went on the first cruise got me hooked. That was just a 4-day cruise. But the next cruise was a 7-day cruise, and I went on a 7-day cruise, and I thought, oh, my goodness, I have been missing out. I thought cruises were just a bunch of old people playing shuffleboard and looking at stuff. Move on, nothing to say. Okay, move on. Move on. I thought that's what it was like on a cruise. It was so much fun and so many things to do, and my family and I have had such great fun, and to get pampered for a week is just a, oh, man. What are you talking about, Brother Bill? Well, on my second cruise, I didn't know all the benefits. I didn't know all the rights I had. I didn't know what I knew I had paid, but I didn't know all of what I had paid for. I said, I wish I had an amen in here. And so we'd go out on excursions, and we had a late supper time. So you arrive in some beautiful tropical island about 8:00 in the morning. You get off the boat, and you're there all day. And you might have had lunch at 11 or 12, but then you didn't eat again. And now it's 6 or 7 o'clock at night when you're getting back to the boat and you're hungry. And on the boat so big, it was like the boat, like walking down the bottom floor of Woodland Hills Mall, just, you know, the shops and all that. And these people started coming by us, and they had these croissants that were filled with tender ham and cheese and bacon. And it smelled so freshly baked. And the croissants looked buttery and soft and delicious. And these people were coming by us with the croissants. And we had been out all day. You know, you're going on these excursions and trips, or you're riding wave runners, or you're doing something. Or some days I was out playing golf, and you're just hungry. And these people walk by you, and you can see the bacon and the Swiss cheese under that croissant. And it just smells so good. And they're just coming by you, and they've got the sandwiches, and they just leave a trail. And they go by you, and you want to go like... But then being on a budget, you say to yourself, well, you know, you're kind of on a budget. And you're going to have dinner in an hour or 2 hours, and it'd be better to wait. So we just stayed hungry. And just said, let's not exhaust the budget. We'll just stay hungry. But the people kept coming with those croissants. That happened Monday. That happened Sunday on the cruise. Happened Monday. Happened Tuesday. Happened Wednesday. On a 7-day cruise. On Wednesday, I said to my wife, I don't care what it costs. She said, I'm with you, brother. Let's go get us some of those croissants. And we went over to the bakery, and we said, give us some of the croissants. And so they gave us the croissants, and oh, man. So I went to pay for it, and the person said, you can't pay for this, sir. I said, what do you mean you can't pay for it? I said, you already paid for it. So what do you mean I already paid? I said, when you bought your ticket, all of this was included in the ticket. I said, huh? She said, everything in here, this is a fresh bakery. We make pizza. We make chocolate chip cookies. Everything in here is fresh. All the bread is fresh made. Everything in here. And it's all, you paid for it all already. I said, I paid for the cookies. She said, you paid for the cookies. I said, I paid for the pizza. You paid for the pizza too. I said, give me some pizza. Give me a cookie. I want 2 of them croissant things. And every day when we got back, I went right back there and got something else. I had paid for that. Yeah. I couldn't take advantage of something that I didn't know I had paid for. And in the body of Christ, we do the same thing. The Lord Jesus gave his life. The Lord Jesus shed his blood. The Lord Jesus was crucified for you and I. The Lord Jesus took stripes upon his back. The Lord Jesus paid for you and I, hey, to walk in victory. And he gave his all and he paid the ultimate price so that we could live a transformed life. Christ paid the price and only victory will suffice. And so Jesus won it all. Jesus did it all. And here in Galatians, we read about this man, Abraham. And if you're a Christian, you need to know about Abraham. And the Bible says, Galatians 3:13 again, Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law, having become a curse for us. It's written, cursed is everyone who hangs on a tree, in order that in Christ Jesus, the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles so that we would receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. The thing that's so important about that is God made Abraham a promise. And the Bible says in Romans 4, Abraham, acting by faith, believed God. It was accredited to him as righteousness. God put righteousness in his account, made him righteous by faith. And all that Abraham did, he believed God, and then God gave him the blessing. But God made Abraham so many promises. And when you read in Genesis 12, those first three verses, God said, listen, these promises weren't just for you. These promises are for your descendants as well. Oh, I wish I had a bigger amen than that. And so here in Galatians, when the Bible says Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law, we better know what that was. What was the curse? Poverty was under the curse. You ought to read Deuteronomy 28. Poverty was a part of that curse. Sickness was a part of that curse. Spiritual death was a part of that curse. And the Bible says that Christ redeemed us from the curse. Glory be to God. And so any place that the curse is found, we need to evoke our covenant rights. Now, my mama and my daddy, they're in heaven. And I love my mama and dad. Miss my dad on days like today. And, the thing about it, my mom and dad, they didn't have a whole lot in this life, but they did the best they could. They didn't leave us very much. What they could leave us, they did. They did the best they could, and they left us kids, whatever they had, they left that for us. They did the best they could. We're thankful what they left us. But by human standards, it wouldn't be considered very much. And I don't know about you or your mom and daddy. They might not have very much in terms of that. But the Bible says that Abraham was, God blessed him with a full supply. That when you read Genesis 12, I'll not go there just for the sake of time, but 12, 13, 14, the Bible says that Abraham, God blessed him so much. He blessed his cattle. He blessed his gold. He blessed his silver. He blessed him during a time of famine that Abraham didn't have any. He gave him a full supply. In the midst of a famine, God gave Abraham a full supply. What's so important about that, brother? Through Abraham, that full supply is what we inherited in the body of Christ. Hey, your mom and daddy may not have had much to leave you, but Christ died and Christ left a will, and he left your name in that will, and he left you blessed spiritually, physically, emotionally. Christ paid the price for you to be blessed in every area, to have a full supply. I wish I had an amen in here. I said, Jesus paid the price. What do you need tonight? Whatever Abraham inherited, from a natural perspective, the nation of Israel inherited. When you read Genesis 12, 1 through 3, that's why God said, whoever blesses you, I'll bless. He said, not just you, but your descendants, even down to verse 14. He said, whoever blesses you, I'll bless. Whoever curses you, I'll curse. He said, you'll be blessed going in. You'll be blessed coming out. Yeah. Then you go over, and if you read in the book of Exodus, chapter 12, you read about how Israel, 2.5 million people coming out of Egypt. God said, go and ask the Egyptians before you leave for silver and gold, because the blessing of Abraham is all on all 2.5 million of you. And go and ask the children of Israel. I mean, go and ask the nation of Egypt. Ask them for gold and silver before you leave as I bring you out, because they're going to give it to you. Not because you're so good. Not because you're so educated. Not because you're so nice and sweet. They're going to give it to you because my favor is on you. They're going to give it to you because I put a blessing on Abraham and swore that that same blessing on Abraham would be inherited by his descendants in the natural. But now what happened is you and I who've been grafted into the kingdom of God in Christ, through Christ. Oh, man. The Bible said in Galatians 3 that Christ was the inheritor of all of those blessings that God had promised Abraham. And now through Christ, those of you and I who are in his body have inherited the same blessing. Oh, glory be to God. I said, that's good news. I said, that's shouting news. I said, you don't have to be sick no more because we inherited the promise. I said, you don't have to put up with sickness anymore because Christ took stripes upon his back. And God has provided so many ways for us to receive our health and our healing. There's healing through the tangible anointing. There's healing through the promises of God. You can go to 1 Peter 2:24. You can go to Romans 8:16-17. You can go to Isaiah 53 and read those first six verses. We are under that covenant, that same covenant, that promise, those promises that Abraham inherited have now come out on the body of Christ. The nation of Israel inherited them. Oh, but spiritually, those of us in the body of Christ inherited the same blessing. And so at verse 29 of Galatians 3, he said, but if you be in Christ, then all the blessings of Abraham are yours. Glory be to God. But you say, how am I going to get them? Okay, I've got the blessings of Abraham. I see that. Galatians 3:29. I see that. How am I going to get them? They're just going to fall on me like ripe cherries off a tree? No, we enact them by the promise of faith. We enact them by exercising our faith. When we exercise our faith, we receive the promise. We get them by faith. Yeah. So what do you need tonight? The good news is you don't have to be sick no more. Because Jesus took stripes. Jesus paid the price. On the cruise ship, I didn't know I could have a croissant like that. I didn't know it was mine. It had already been paid for. And so many Christians today, they don't know. Jesus has already paid it. But be ashamed for you and I who know that he paid it to then turn around and do without it. Christ paid for you to have it. He wants you to have a full supply. He wants you to be blessed. You don't have to be sick no more. I said, I wish I had a bigger amen. I said, you don't have to be in lack no more. You don't have to be stressed out by finances anymore. You don't have to be worried anymore. Amen. The chastisement of our peace fell upon him. He even paid the price for that. He paid the price, woo, for you and I to walk in peace. Amen. You don't have to worry about what's going on down there at the job no more. Jesus paid the price. You don't have to worry about how am I going to make it through the end of the month? How are things going to add up? Jesus paid the price. You don't have to worry about how am I going to get the victory in this area? How am I going to overcome fear? Jesus paid the price. You walked into an inheritance. You and I are like Mephibosheth of old. You remember Jonathan had a son. First of all, David and Jonathan cut a covenant. And after Jonathan had died and after Saul and his lineage had died off and David came, he came to the kingdom just like God had promised him that he would be king. And David came to the kingdom. David said when he became king of Israel, he said, I know Jonathan has died. And he said, I know that his father Saul has died, but we enacted a covenant and there's someone who will inherit. Is there anybody to inherit that covenant? And they said, he's got a descendant. And David said, who's the descendant? And they said, his descendant is Mephibosheth. And David said, go and get him. And the Bible says Mephibosheth, he was disabled and in his feet, and he was disabled and he was broke and poor and busted and disgusted. And all of a sudden he's beckoned to the king's table. And Mephibosheth gets to the king's table and he asks King David, what do you want with a dead dog like me? And David said to him, you ain't no dead dog. David said, you may feel like a dead dog, but you ain't no dead dog. David said, you part of a covenant. You inherited something. Something has been provided for you before you ever knew it. Something has been done. A covenant was cut and you were named in a will. Your name is in a will and you may be feeling broke tonight, but there is a will that has been acted that's got your name in it. And in that will, it mentions your name right there. And you very wealthy tonight. And the king king said, you'll never eat at anybody else's table. From now on, you're going to eat like a king's kid from the king's table. He said, not only that, I'm going to give you back all the land of your father Saul, all the land of your father Jonathan, all the animals they had, all the wealth they had. You're going to inherit all of that back. Mephibosheth came in with a bowed down head, but he left like George Jefferson. I'm sorry. Generationally, you won't know what I'm talking about. You'll have to Google George Jefferson. But everything had been provided for Mephibosheth. And you and I are that. We are him. God has done for us, except it's greater. It's greater. It's so much more expansive. It's so much more greater than what happened to Mephibosheth. It's so much more greater than what happened to Abraham. What God has provided for you and I has given us the keys to walk in the victory. Christ has paid the price, and only victory will suffice. Let's pray. Father, we've endeavored during this time to share from the power of your word. Thank you for all you've done to give us the victory tonight. Thank you that Jesus paid the price. The victory has been won, and we enact it through your precious promises. You said in your word, whereby have been given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these we become partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. Oh, Father, every promise in the book is ours. Thank you. We enact it by faith. Thank you that you've created us to rule, to reign with Christ. Thank you. You've given us the name of Jesus, which is higher than any name. Thank you. You've given us that name that makes demons tremble. You've given us access to that name, authority to use that name. Oh, thank you. We can pray in that name, believe in that name, speak in that name, exercise faith in the name of Jesus. Oh, thank you for all we've inherited. Thank you, Father God. Thank you. You've given us your precious word. Oh, your word. Oh, Father, not one line will ever fail to come to pass. Your word, Father God, is quick, powerful. It's alive, sharper than a two-edged sword. Thank you for the power of the Holy Written Word. Thank you. You've given us the Holy Ghost down on the inside. He's there to lead us, to guide us. Thank you for it. Thank you. You've given us the promise of your peace. The promise of your peace, Father God. You said in your word in Psalm 4, verse 8, I will both lay me down and sleep in peace because you alone, O Lord, have made me dwell in safety. You said, be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer, supplication, thanksgiving, let your request be made known unto God. And then the peace of God that passes all understanding will guard your heart and your mind in Christ Jesus. Thank you, Father. Lord Jesus, you said, peace I give you, my peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Thank you. You told us to cast all of our cares upon you. You paid the price, Lord Jesus, for us to walk in peace tonight. So that wherever the curse is found, worry is part of the curse. Wherever the curse is found, oh, tonight we can get rid of the curse. Oh, just by repentance. And just accept your blessing if we're in Christ, if we're in Christ. Father, thank you that you paid the price for us to walk with a full supply. Even materially, you want us to have a full supply. You want us to be blessed so that we can be a blessing. And so thank you. Jesus paid the price for us to have a full supply. He paid the price for us to be well in our bodies. Oh, he paid the price for us to walk in righteousness. He paid the price for us to walk in forgiveness. Oh, thank you, Father, for the exceeding great and precious promises, every one of which Jesus paid for. And so help us not to live like paupers now. Help us not to live like those outside the realm of the blessing, because we've inherited the blessing. Touch hearts tonight. With every head bowed, every eye closed, how many of you here would be honest and say, you know, Brother Bill, there's an area of my life or some areas that I've been reminded of tonight that I've inherited the promise. I've inherited the blessing. And I've been reminded to me, there's some things I need to turn over to the Lord. There's some areas that have been bothering me, troubling me. Lift your hand tonight. Let me see your hand. You say, there's some areas in my life that I need to get right with God. I've been reminded of my covenant. I've been reminded of my inheritance. Just all over. Thank you. You can put your hands down. Thank you. Praise God. Father, you see honest hearts as people have their hands up. And we thank you for it tonight. We thank you for touching people's lives. We thank you for saving people, redeeming. I wonder if anybody's here tonight and you have either never been born again or you've been born again, but you're not currently walking with Christ like you should be, and you know it. Would you let me pray for you? Would you lift your hand? Is anybody in here like that? And you say, I'm either not born again or I am born again, but I'm just not living the way I should. And I want to make it right tonight. I want to get back under all of my covenant rights, under my covenant blessing. Let me see your hand. I'll pray for you if I see your hand. You show God you mean business and he'll touch you in this place. Anybody anywhere? Those watching, those listening through some other venue, Christ wants to touch you. He wants to have a personal relationship with you. And if you don't have that, you can be in Christ tonight. Just say this simple prayer. Jesus, Jesus, I love you. Jesus, thank you for dying on the cross for me. Jesus, thank you for bearing the penalty of all of my sins. Thank you for being my substitute, Jesus. Thank you for taking the punishment for my sins. I believe you are the Son of God. I believe you rose from the dead. And I accept God's offer of forgiveness through you. Come into my heart. Make me the person you want me to be. Oh, my friend, if you just prayed that prayer, we want you to write to us here at the ministry and let us know that you prayed that prayer. Let us know that you've asked Jesus to come into your life or you've gotten your heart right with God. Okay, my friends, you can lift your head if your head is still bowed. Listen, if you need prayer for anything, our prayer workers are coming, these anointed men and women. You need prayer for something tonight? Then come to these men or these women of God. And we only ask if you're a woman, come to the women of God. And if you're a man, come to the men of God. They're not there to counsel with you, but they're there to pray with you. And if you'll just boldly come forward, and they'll minister to you. You won't leave here like you came. Well, it's been such a great day. And we just thank God for you coming tonight and viewing, turning, tuning in, however you've tuned in. We want you to have a great week in Jesus. We want you to remember to pray for our pastors this week. We want you to be here Wednesday for Hour of Power. And do we have any first-time visitors? Did we have any first-time visitors? Somebody wave at me. Did we have any first-time visitors tonight or no? Were we all family? Okay, I think we're all family. All right. Well, if all hearts and minds are clear, God bless you, one and all, and we'll see you next time.